was gone. It wasn't hollow or twisted, but it wasn't the feeling of trust either.
We'll have to come back here in the future, Mindy said. I enjoy the feeling of family it provides.
That's the second best part of eating here besides the food,
Verka grinned.
Anna, a feast as always!
She'd raised her voice to make sure she was heard. Mother Anna came out of the back with a wide smile.
Verka, Moha daughter, I've told you before, no yelling.
It was a gentle chiding.
But you wouldn't come out to say goodbye if I didn't.
Verka laughed as she got up.
Best wishes, Anna. May your family stay a bright light for all of Krogheim.
We will. May your brother be successful and safe on his raids this year. Will you be joining him now that your eyesight has returned?
I'm not a fighter, but I'll trail his raiders with the other healers so we can save those who come to us. If he raids the Empire, no healer will cross the border until he calls it safe. Too many of our healers would be enslaved.
Mother Anna's eyes went to the diverse family before she nodded sadly.
Even the honorable ones wouldn't be able to stop the worst.
Yukiko got up, going to where Verka and Anna stood.
You have our thanks for being welcoming and for the food. The two places we've eaten in Krogheim have been fond memories. If it's acceptable, we'll return many times in the future.
All are welcome here, as long as they abide by the rules,
Mother Anna smiled.
We will.
Yukiko bowed as a magi, then pressed her right fist to her chest.
Thank you.
Mother Anna's eyes sparkled.
Go with Krog.
The others had gotten up, and when Verka and Yukiko came back to the table, the group walked out after everyone left money behind. As they strolled away, Gregory whispered,
The panther Yurtik has aether.
Likely one of the shadows who tried to listen in,
Yukiko said.
One of ours or one of Blitz, Verka sighed. Two others make it certain that the High Priest was keeping his ears on us. Blit was curious enough to use one of his people as well, but who would the third have been?
If Shinner has a second Shadow Magi, it would have been him, Jen said. Otherwise, it could be a clan of the Empire.
We did anger the Whispering Darkness clan,
Yukiko said.
Trying to find something to use against us would be in line with their clan.
Pity that we have so many curious, Verka sighed. Before we call it a day, I wanted to show you a favorite garden of mine.
We have a friend who loves flowers,
Mindy giggled.
Oh?
Verka asked.
Elsa, Gregory said fondly. I'd like to tell you how I helped start an orphanage.
Please do,
Verka said softly as she fell into step with him. As they walked through the garden, Ragnar found them.
Sister, friends, it's good to see you.
How are you, Ragnar?
Gregory asked.
Good, very good. But things are busy. In a month or two, you might not like me as much.
Raids happen, Jen said. I dealt with a few during my adept posting.
I was crossing Lamaze's border that year,
Ragnar chuckled.
Oh, I would have loved to have met you then. But then again, maybe not. I doubt either of us would have backed away if we had. Then, it's best that we didn't.
It would have made things far less pleasant than they are today,
Yukiko said primly.
I understand that,
Ragnar said.
Maybe fate helped us in that regard.
We were just finishing a day with a walk through the garden, brother, Verka said. How did you find us?
Where else would you take them after food?
Ragnar laughed.
I know you well, sister.
Verka chuckled at that.
True. I enjoy the flowers. Their life and love give in form.
Elsa would love to walk here,
Ling said.
She absolutely would,
Clover nodded.
When my parents visit, if they bring her, then we can share this with her,
Yukiko said.
I would like to meet her,
Verka said.
Anyone who's considered a child of yours will be a cherished friend to me.
We'll have to see what the future brings,
Gregory said.
But yes, we'd love for you to meet her too.
On an unrelated note, Ragnar said. Greg, we need to arrange for a visit to the embassy again. I feel the need for another spar before the raids.
I think we'll have time for it,
Yukiko said.
We'll let you know once we have the dates.
Wonderful,
Ragnar grinned.
We'll be glad to visit again,
Verka murmured.
Oh, for my birthday! We should take Verka to tea,
Clover said suddenly.
We can arrange that,
Yukiko smiled.
if you'd like to, Virka?
Gladly. I need to meet the traditions of the family, Virka beamed. Thank you, Clover.
Clover blushed slightly, but giggled happily.
Aw, I want you to feel as welcome as we can make you.
So do I,
Virka grinned. Ragnar shook his head. He'd never stop his sister from finding love, but he'd make Gregory prove that he was worthy again. He didn't say it, though. His sister was happy, and he wasn't going to spoil that. Chapter 21 Gregory exhaled roughly.
Oh, you really want to do that every day, don't you?
Clover was all giggles as she got out of bed.
I do. It's the best. I start the day with my desires sated and eager for more later if it happens.
It works for me, too, Mindy said breathily. Thank you, Ling.
I was glad to assist you, dear healer.
Ling purred as she got off her knees.
Besides, you were holding Roshana.
It was very nice,
Roshana murmured happily.
Thank you, Ling. Jen.
Yuki made sure I was in place,
Jen grinned, getting up from her knees in front of Roshana.
Which had all of us getting our desires first thing today. It's a good way to start the day, as Clover said.
Yukiko snickered.
Now, we need to get dressed.
Gregory rolled to the side to just watch his wives for a moment.
They all get along. I've never seen a disagreement between them. Even when they have different points of view, it's always a discussion, but never an argument. None of them have seemed jealous of each other, either. It's like everything wonderful about relationships has been distilled down to the best for our family. I wonder if that's Vera's influence. Would it have been from our past lives? Would this bliss have carried over because Vera loves them as much as I do?
The questions floated around in his head for a bit before he got out of bed.
Did she tax you that much, our soul?
Yukiko smirked.
Not from lack of trying, Gregory chuckled, giving Clover a wink. No, I was just thinking about our family. The absence of arguments, fights, or jealousy.
It's been a question I've considered when it was just me and Jen. As our wives have joined us, it refreshed it more than once. Is the peace we have because of our last lives? Is it a lingering effect because of her?
Yukiko hesitated, not knowing if it was safe. Gregory scanned the room before smiling.
Vera? Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
It doesn't matter,
Clover said as she got dressed.
The only thing that matters is that we love each other. I can't wait for our friends, plus Claudia and Virka to join us too. I know that it'll all work out, and our love will only grow bigger.
It feels like everything will work in our relationship,
Ling agreed.
I don't have reservations about our friends, old or new.
We won't be able to marry her for a year or more,
Yukiko said.
I'll make that clear when we see her again. It's too great a risk that Gregory will be discovered if they do.
Oh, pity,
Mindy mumbled sadly.
I was looking forward to her joining us.
Oh, me too,
Jen sighed.
Yuki can best gauge how events will play out, so we'll do what we have to.
Will she understand?
Roshana asked.
Yes,
Gregory said without hesitation. We can do for her what we did for Claudia. We can promise and give her the gifts that our other waiting wives-to-be have.
We'll make a trip to the jeweler during Clover's birthday,
Yukiko smiled.
But after the tea ceremony. It's not that I expect a bad vision, but I want to hold to this tradition.
It's only fair that she has to do what all of us had to do,
Jen snickered.
I'm not going to disagree, Gregory said. Yukiko's the one guiding the relationship, and I'm fine with that. I know she'll do what's best for us as a family.
Yukiko gave him a soft smile.
Thank you, dearest. I shudder to think what things would be like if you were different.
Running off to collect more for the pride without getting our opinion?
Ling asked.
Or doing something truly stupid, like trying to date Dia,
Jen snickered.
Maybe carrying on a secret romance with Rafik?
Roshana giggled.
Oh, goodness, Mindy blushed. Can you just imagine what his time away from us would have been like?
Nope, Gregory laughed. Just no. Respect the man's boundaries. He's got a loving wife waiting for him.
Maybe Rudit after the solstice bath?
Yukiko said with a smirk. Gregory covered his face at that one.
No, Yuki.
Everyone laughed at his reaction as they dressed. These small moments of silliness and joy were cherished by all of them. The women finished getting ready before Gregory, so he finished dressing as he looked into the future. Frowning, he replayed it a few times, making different choices until he found the best path, though not perfect. He left the bedroom with a frown, going to join his wives for Armsmaster Squares.
Oh, what's wrong, Greg?
Yukiko asked, seeing him first.
There's going to be problems at the honor duels today,
Gregory replied as he took the seat left open between Mindy and Roshana.
How bad is it?
Mindy asked.
A bad cut and one dead.
Me? Or someone else?
Jen asked.
The first vision was you dead,
Gregory said softly.
The champion is a berserker. You don't realize how far gone he is until he takes your head when you think the fight is over. That doesn't happen once I tell you. Trying to decline the fight sours the honor duels, leading them to being stopped entirely. We'd lose a lot of what we've built up that way.
What happens if I don't refuse the fight? Jen asked.
You take a bad gash on your side, but Mindy and Lita can heal it. The champion gets killed. Elder Petrickson is the council member there, and even he agrees that there was no choice. Just do your best to reason with the champion once you see his eyes during the fight.
Okay, Jen exhaled deeply. There's no chance to subdue him?
When you try, he still dies and you take more injuries,
Gregory said.
Even then, you'll burn your force amulet once you try reasoning with him. No one faults you for what happens by the end of it. Sometimes people die during honor fights. There's a new rule that'll be added. No berserker champions allowed going forward. For the non-champions that go berserk, you or I can manage them without a death by working them into the ground or just flat overpowering them.
I'm sad it has to end that way,
Clover said sadly.
Can we explain it ahead of time in a way that doesn't cause problems?
Gregory shook his head.
Because we've allowed all other fights? No. Even if I went and explained the outcome, it still sours things. Foresight isn't perfect, so the doubt that we'd lie to stop from losing sets in, and then doubt grows and grows. I looked weeks ahead to make sure.
I'll be fine, Jen said. Mindy will be there to help. While we all want to avoid killing, sometimes it's unavoidable. Greg, I won't be thinking a fight is over until the other person stops first. Not after what you just said. I might back off and wait, but I won't let my guard down.
Good,
Yukiko said softly, hugging Jen to her side.
We'd be distraught if our fierce fighter wasn't with us.
Jen kissed Yukiko before giving her a sad smile.
We'd be that way if any of us died. That's why we have to make sure that all of us are as prepared as possible. None of us should drop our guard just because we think the duel is done or the fight is over.
You wouldn't take the wound if you went for the kill as soon as he goes mad,
Gregory said softly.
But if you do that, no one knows why you killed him. It just looks like you were the one going too far, which is worse than refusing the fight.
It'll be fine, Jen said, still holding Yukiko. Mindy will be there for me.
It casts a pall over the day, Ling said.
In both ways,
Roshana nodded.
The rest of the day is fine, Gregory said. That was the only thing that deviated from the routine we've had.
We should get our training done then, Jen said as she kissed Yukiko softly again. It's best to keep growing as fast as we can.
Yes,
Yukiko murmured, letting Jen go.
Tonight we'll make sure you're well-loved. Make sure you're here for that.
I will be, Jen said as she picked her wax tablet back up. Nothing will keep me from my heart.
What does today bring, Gregory?
Rudit asked.
For the embassy, nothing out of the normal routine. The only point of worry today is the honor duel.
Explain, please.
Gregory relayed what he'd told his wives earlier, along with what the outcome would be for each deviation he'd checked.
I see. Elder Petrickson doesn't cause a fuss?
No, ma'am. Since Jen tries to reason with the champion before she takes the wound, he understands. I won't be surprised if the High Priest comes tomorrow to clarify the duels. It'll be him or one of the priests that does. It's changed twice that I've checked.
I wonder why, Rudit murmured. Does the outcome of the meeting change any?
No. They all agree to let the fights continue, but to ban champions who are known to be berserkers. Since it's them adding the rule, we get no grief from the citizens. Ragnar goes to the duels the day after to show that goodwill is still in place. Tomorrow there are no duels, as things will be put on hold until the council rules on them.
Very well.
Clover's birthday is coming up, isn't it?
Rudit said, changing the topic.
Yes, ma'am. We're going to request the day off.
I thought as much. I grant you all the day, but myself and Makar will be taking time off after that. You'll be acting ambassador, with your wives filling in as assistants. Make your plans accordingly, whatever those might be.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sure we'll have a guest or two during that time.
Handle it as required, but make sure your reports reflect everything that is needed to be noted.
Understood.
Now, look forward and tell me how my son's date goes.
Rudit smiled.
Not the details, just, is he happy?
Gregory wasn't expecting the new twist, but he looked forward. Taking a deep breath, he pushed for a month after, then 3 months, then a year, before looking to when he would be leaving the posting. Sitting back, he felt tired. He'd used his own aether, not his ring, for all the foresight he'd done for the day.
How much do you want to know, exactly?
Gregory finally asked, meeting Rudit's eyes.
Does it lead to him being happy?
Rudit asked softly.
He's aware that if things work out, he'll part from me. I accepted that he'll leave me long ago, as all my children have. My grandchildren and great-grandchildren from those children don't see me anymore, but I'd make sure to see Makar's children at least a few times before he gets too old.
Gregory's smile was soft and touched with sadness.
I dread the day my loved ones pass before me.
Shaking his head, Gregory cleared his throat.
Makar will find happiness if he lets himself. He's still wavering about not continuing with you. If you push, it hurts him, so just encourage him gently and pray.
Rudit bowed her head.
Aether, please let my youngest know the joy of a family. He's but a sweet child who has prioritized me for far too long. If you can, please bless his child as a magi, so I can have a grandchild beside me.
Gregory bowed his head, wondering if he could do as she asked.
The ritual had to be because Aether had once lifted others up as magi, right? If that was true, maybe I can ensure it?
He was lost in thought when Rudit cleared her throat.
What? Sorry?
Thank you for taking my prayer seriously. Others might scoff at asking Aether as I just did, but our clan knows he'll come back. Go get Makar. He can join us for the peaceful feast today.
Yes, ma'am,
Gregory said. He shelved his thoughts for the time being, but he promised himself to revisit them later. Maybe when he could talk to Darkness and get answers from her. Chapter 22. Gregory knocked once before entering Rudit's office.
Ma'am, you sent for me?
Come in, Gregory. Rudit motioned him to the sitting area where she and Stenson were.
Yes, ma'am.
Gregory closed the door behind him, then crossed the room toward them.
Can I refresh your drinks before sitting?
He asked, seeing that both Rudit and Stenson's cups were almost empty.
That would be good. You should pour yourself one as well.
Rudit said. Gregory bowed his head, refilling theirs first. Finally done with his, he sat with his cup in hand.
How may I assist you, Ambassador?
Go ahead, High Priest,
Rudit said.
I came because of the incident yesterday during the honor duels,
Stenson said.
You do know what I'm speaking of, yes?
The death of a berserker champion,
Gregory replied softly.
John Skipson was killed by Jen Pettit.
He held up a hand to forestall any arguments, not that Gregory was going to argue.
She's not in trouble for what happened. However, it does leave a problem we hadn't accounted for, though we likely should have.
Berserkers being in the duels,
Gregory said, sipping his tea.
Yes, I believe if he'd been a normal berserker, your wife could have stopped him without killing him, couldn't she?
It isn't a given, but we'd give our very best to try, even if it meant crippling them. I believe that between Mindy and Lita, they should be able to fix the injury. If Virka was there, then it would be even easier.
We'll come back to that point in a moment. Let's stay on topic for now,
Stenson said, staring at Gregory.
The trouble is champions who are berserkers. Stopping one fighting a magi short of death is practically impossible. As you yourself found out when you married.
Igar Axelson,
Gregory said, bowing his head.
I wish he hadn't pushed.
Yes, and now John Skipson. two champion berserkers killed by you and your wife. While it's a blow to our nation, neither of you wished to kill the men. They lost themselves to the battle against Magi.
Stenson paused to drink before continuing.
The council debated what to do about the honor duels, and we've come to an agreement. That's why I'm here. These duels have been a blessing, showing us a clan in the Empire who can understand our ways. It fosters some goodwill, and even when a tragedy was occurring, your wife pleaded with him to stop. The fact that she tried to disable and stop him short of killing him, all while trying to reason with him. It was noticed by everyone present.
She was badly injured in doing so, Gregory said softly. Mindy and Lita healed her, but it could have cost Jen her life to try getting through to him.
Stenson dipped his head.
I will acknowledge that point, Gregory. The council will forbid any champion who is a known berserker from attending the duels. The council member who attends the day a champion is there will make sure they're not a known berserker. We ask that the honor duels continue, but with this new caveat in place.
Gregory set his cup down so he could bow in his seat to Stenson.
I thank you and the council, sir. They canceled the duels today so it could be addressed. We want to keep fostering this goodwill between the embassy and the nation, but not at the cost of lives.
Very well. That was the primary reason I came today,
Stenson said, setting his mostly empty cup down.
But let me address the point from before, about Moha daughter. She's twice visited your family, once here with her brother, and once without, as she took you through the gardens in the city. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
You've dueled Iverson twice, too. Once here, and once in the honor duels.
Yes, sir.
Stenson stared at Gregory intently.
Those two are the pride of Kroga, Pettit. Young, strong, and likely destined for greatness. I foresee Moha daughter on the council in time, while her brother might be the greatest high champion we have had since the war with your nation began. Yet now, both call upon your family like old friends. Should I worry about treachery?
The last five words came with Stenson's resonance. It wrapped around Gregory tightly. It wasn't intended to crush him, but it held him firmly. Gregory did his best to hold it back, but he was only a magus, and Stenson was a sage, or would be if Kroga used the same system to rank their aether users. Gritting his teeth, Gregory locked eyes with the High Priest, his stubborn pride refusing to let him not push against the greater power.
I would never betray a friend.
The words were strained as he said them. Rudit sat forward abruptly, her empty cup clattering to the table as her resonance slammed into Stenson's.
High Priest, I must insist that you stop.
Stenson's eyes darted to Rudit before his resonance faded away.
Very well. I'll make amends for my actions. I will warn you that any action taken against them will see me angry enough to do far worse.
Gregory, are you okay?
Rudit asked. Slumping back in his seat, Gregory grunted.
I'm fine, Rudit. Or at least not injured. It's humbling to be so thoroughly defeated with no chance to stop it.
High Priest, I will have to lodge a formal complaint over this.
Of course,
Stenson said.
I shall go for now.
Wait, Gregory said, sitting forward. Ambassador, we can resolve this so the report is complete.
Rudit glanced his way, then sat back.
Very well, Pettit. You were the attacked party, so go ahead.
High Priest, I don't fault you for protecting them. I think of both of them as friends, even if it's just the beginning of friendship. If my friends were threatened, I'd likely respond similarly. While this doesn't absolve what happened, I would consider it mitigating. I would ask that your observers be removed from monitoring us if we are not actively at odds.
Stenson's lips twitched.
I don't know what you are talking about, Pettit. Spying on an ambassador would be an offense. If it happened, I would caution the impetuous priest who did so that only in dire circumstances should it take place.
It might not have been your nation at all, but I do find myself wondering what your shadow magic priests would do for the nation. Typically, shadow magic is where you find your assassins and spies. I found nothing in any books from your nation that even speaks of them. It's as if they've been hidden from even your own people.
I see.
Stenson said slowly, but there was understanding in his eyes.
Very well. I shall ask those under my guidance about this. You should know that those treasured by our nation are kept under watch. We won't allow them to be targeted easily, and the best way to manage that is to make sure they are safe.
Thank you. I think a promise of fewer clandestine watchers for the embassy should count as repayment. Shouldn't it, Ambassador?
If it was Buldoon, I would laugh.
Rudit snorted.
Kroga is known for honoring its word. If the High Priest will promise fewer observers for the embassy and ambassadors of our nation, I will agree.
I promise on behalf of my nation that any watchers will be pulled back. However, if a conflict between our nations comes, they will have to return until that conflict has been resolved. Is that enough, Ambassador Glowstone?
Pettit?
Rudy tossed the question to him.
If those watchers also agree to pull back when we visit with friends.
Stenson's lips thinned before he exhaled slowly.
Very well. I agree, only because you have shown honor, Pettit. But be mindful of my earlier words regarding our bright rising stars.
Gregory bowed in his seat.
Agreed, sir.
Rudit exhaled.
I still need to speak with the High Priest about other matters, Gregory. You are dismissed.
Yes, ma'am,
Gregory said. He stood, bowing to her, then to Stenson.
May your conversation be less fraught than the last one.
That would be nice.
I will not use my resonance again today,
Stenson said. Gregory closed the office door behind him a few seconds later. He let out a deep breath when it clicked shut.
Problem, Gregory?
Makar asked.
No, it went just like I saw this morning,
Gregory sighed, scanning the room with aether sight.
It was just intense in a way I hadn't expected when he clamped down on me.
Oh, I can believe that. Before you go,
Makar coughed awkwardly.
I had a question or two.
About your impending date?
Yes. Thank you for telling me that it was May, but I've been at a bit of a loss. I want to make it a good date. Something she'll enjoy, but she is branded.
Gregory went to the desk, thinking.
Which in town would get a lot of looks if they saw it.
Yes, I was thinking of asking her to cover it, but does that sound wrong?
Gregory's lips twitched at how nervous Makar was.
No, I'll go speak with her. Also, the seafood place would be ideal, but stay away from the eels.
Makar blinked at Gregory slowly. He'd just started putting together plans, and he'd been waffling on which restaurant would be best.
Very well.
Gregory clapped Makar's shoulder.
Relax. She's the one who broached the topic to begin with. No matter what happens, if you're earnest and honest, she'll enjoy the date.
Right.
Makar exhaled.
I've just never courted before. I've had my rendezvous with the fairer sex, but never to start something special.
She's not a blushing virgin either, Makar. Just do your best and let things go at their own pace. Don't push, don't hold back, just be you.
Oh, thank you, Gregory.
Call me Greg. All my friends do, Makar.
I'll try, Greg, but I think I'll default to Gregory far more often. I can pass that off as just too many Pettits, after all.
Gregory laughed, heading for the door.
We do that quite often.
Gregory entered the suite to find May cleaning the windows.
May, do you have a moment?
Yes, sir?
May asked, turning around.
Just a question or two,
Gregory said, crossing over to her.
Please don't take offense at these. They come from a good place.
May's puzzlement was clear.
Sir?
When you go on your date with Makar, would you be willing to make sure your brand is covered? He wants you to enjoy your time out, but if you're seen as a slave, it'll cause problems with the locals.
May blinked slowly for a moment before she giggled.
He was afraid to ask me?
He was hesitant to ask. He didn't want you to feel like he was diminishing you.
I'll make sure it's covered, sir,
May smiled.
I'm looking forward to it, even if it is weeks away. Everyone's been helping me get ready. Nettie and Nami are the two who are the most eager. I think they have hope that if I can find a good man, then they will too. The last few years with your family have given all of us hope that life will keep improving.
I'm glad they're supporting you. I'll let Makar know. Oh, and don't have the eels.
Gregory chuckled as he walked away. May watched him go, confused for a moment, then laughed. It gave her an idea of what kind of food she'd be having with Makar. Warmth suffused her chest at the thought that Makar was already planning things out. Chapter 23.
It'll be okay, Gregory murmured to Mindy as they walked toward the honor duel. Stenson will be there today, along with Verka and Lita.
Accidents can still happen, especially when you can't clearly see the future, Mindy whispered back.
During the fight, I can see fine. If it looks like the worst is going to happen, I'll use my enchantments. It'd dim the honor, but it's better than being maimed or killed.
Thank you, my soul, Mindy exhaled slowly. I worry every time you fight, even if you've never been critically injured.
I can't fault you for that, my love.
Gregory smiled as he squeezed her hand.
I'd be just as worried if you fought.
I'd be even more worried, Mindy snickered. I've done my best to stay at least decent with my staff, but I'll never be the fighter that you or Jen are, or even as skilled as our other wives. I'm the worst fighter in our family.
A healer should never have to pick up a weapon, so none of us think that's a bad thing. All that matters is that you know enough for emergencies, where you have to defend yourself from the unexpected.
If any of us are nearby, we'd do our best to save her, sir,
Glasson said from behind them.
Thank you, Sergeant,
Gregory said. Glasson came forward to walk beside Gregory.
Sir, is what she said correct? You couldn't see the future clearly today?
The questions were asked as softly as he could speak and still be heard.
There are moments when foresight fails, Gregory whispered back. It only happens around the most powerful people.
Oh, like the High Priest,
Glasson nodded slowly.
Understood, sir. Anyone as powerful as a sage will cause problems. It's a good thing there aren't many people as powerful as that.
Gregory didn't correct Glasson's mistaken assumption. It was best that it stayed incorrect, so he just nodded.
That's why I was able to clearly state that the embassy would be fine today. After my match, when Stenson leaves, it'll be clear again.
He didn't add that Ragnar and Verka would also be going at the same time.
Understood, sir.
Glasson nodded.
Is it okay to spread that to the other sergeants and lieutenants, sir? If we know of the trouble, we can be hyper-alert when necessary.
Gregory was proud of his men. They wanted to make sure they did as much as they could, even when he couldn't. It made him a little melancholy to lie to them now, but his family's safety was first. Anyone knowing about Ragnar and Verka would endanger all of them, so he accepted the guilt of the lie.
Thank you, Sergeant. Keep it discreet.
He glanced back at the men marching behind them. The part panther Yurtik bowed his head to him, his sharper hearing having caught most of what was said.
As discreet as you can.
Yes, sir.
The sunken pit of the arena was busy when the guard and challengers approached. The reason why was clear, as Stenson stood with Ragnar and Verka waiting for them. There was a gap in the people around the trio, showing the citizens' respect toward the priests and champion.
I thought it might be you, Petit.
Stenson's lips twitched.
Especially when Iverson insisted that he come to show there was no ill will because of the last duels.
Ragnar shrugged.
This is for the best. The strongest of our two nations meeting for an honorable duel shows that at least Aether's guard respects our traditions. Though it was a tragedy to have a champion killed last time, we must not stop the goodwill from continuing. It's rare enough to find an honorable magi, much less one who will honor Krog correctly.
The job of an ambassador is to promote goodwill, Gregory said. My wife did her best to stop the tragedy, but alas, when a champion berserker's blood is hot, even she has trouble stopping them less than fatally. We raised a glass in his name the night he fell, as before the fight he'd been amiable. It was just his lust for battle that overcame his reason, not malice. May his soul know peace.
Well said, Pettit,
Stenson said.
I need to continue speaking with Iverson about the raids he's planning, so please duel him first. Actually...
Ragnar scratched his head.
Go ahead, sister.
Virka stepped forward. Mindy Pettit, healer of Aether's Guard, I seek an honor duel with you. Mindy's jaw dropped.
I'm not much of a fighter. It wouldn't be very honorable for you.
I don't fight much either. It was difficult when I was blind. Since you restored my sight, I want to make sure I am better. Please, honor me with a spar. Taking a deep breath, Mindy nodded.
Oh, very well.
Gregory swallowed as his earlier concern for her if she fought came surging back. He squeezed her hand before letting her go. Stay safe, my heart. Mindy took off her houri, handing it to Gregory.
I will be, my heart.
The two healers got into the pit, each holding a staff. Virka's weapon was thicker and had greater reach, having been made for her bigger size. Mindy lifted her chin as she took up a ready posture. She wasn't a fighter, but she'd still do her best. Stenson sighed as he stepped up to the railing.
The same rules of all honor fights. Begin.
It was actually a decent fight. Mindy was far more practiced with her weapon, but Virka seemed like a gifted novice. Gregory was sure Virka was drawing on her past life skill, but because her current body wasn't used to the movements, it slowed her down. Mindy won in the end, managing to sneak her staff past Virka's defenses to tap the larger woman's throat. Stepping back, Virka raised her hand.
You check that strike. The win is yours.
Mindy let her staff vanish as she touched her arm.
I did, but it was easy to hold back with the bruises I have.
Virka laughed, her staff vanishing so she could heal herself, too.
That's fair.
Gregory jumped into the pit, bringing Mindy her houri.
Well done, my heart.
Thank you, dearest.
Mindy beamed. She took her overrobe from him, slipping it on.
Stay safe.
Gregory glanced over to where Ragnar was whispering to Virka.
I'll need it. At least it's just weapon skill here.
That's true.
Mindy squeezed his arm before she climbed out of the ring after Virka. Ragnar was holding his enchanted practice axe as he grinned at Gregory. Taking his houri off, Gregory let his ring take it for safety. A moment later, his sheathed naginata was in his hand.
No enhancing yourselves or using aether,
Stenson said firmly.
Just weapon skill for the two of you. Begin.
The duel between the two reborn gods took far longer than the one between the healers. As the fight stretched out, Stenson was glad that Gregory was going to be stuck in the embassy for the next few years. If the two men in the arena came to actual blows, he was uncertain which of them would survive. It would be a tremendous pity, as both of them showed great promise to change the future for the better. Mindy watched the match with her heart in her throat. She'd hoped Gregory would use foresight to stay safe, but with Stenson declaring no aether for the duel, she knew he wouldn't. Without that safety net, she was waiting for the worst to happen. Virka watched the fight with a soft smile. The memories she recalled of her brother and aether fighting were all good ones. To her, it was clear that the two were having fun as they strove to win. Her glance at Mindy distracted her from the fight.
It'll be all right, Mindy. Virka said softly. If needed, I'll throw up a barrier to stop the worst. Neither of us wants them crippled or killed, so please, calm yourself. Between the two of us, we'll be able to heal anything that happens.
The knot in Mindy's throat relaxed. If Virka would use a barrier and help her heal, then it would be okay. She'd seen how quickly Virka could produce a barrier when the two men sparred.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, I'm late.
Lita said, slipping up beside Virka and Mindy.
Goodness, they are a sight to behold.
My brother loves a good fight, Virka chuckled. Gregory has managed to give him that every time.
Mindy tried not to react to the late addition to Gregory's name. Virka knew that she should call him Gregory, at least until they'd been around each other enough for people to think they were good friends. Lita's lips twitched, and she turned her attention to her friend. The raised eyebrow and silent question made the reborn goddess flush slightly.
It was just a slip, Virka muttered.
He doesn't mind friends calling him Greg,
Mindy said, coming to help.
I was sure he told you when we walked the garden last month.
Right, that's true, but I should be a bit more diplomatic,
Virka coughed.
Lita said slowly, turning her focus to Mindy.
How many wives are in your family? I forgot.
6 here, including me,
Mindy said.
Which is a partial answer at best,
Lita snickered, then looked back at the two men.
Well, since you're both making moon ice at Gregory, I'll do the same with Ragnar.
Furka snorted. I've told you before that he'd gladly accept you.
Yes, but I'm not sure I want to share,
Lita sighed.
I know he has other women he sees already. He hasn't married any of them, at least.
He'll never marry, Furka said softly. Even if he's reborn 1,000 times, he'll never marry. Lita just shook her head. It was an old conversation with her friend. It was best to let it go and just watch the two men fight. But since Lita is here, Furka asked, I was thinking, Mindy, what if we all went out for a drink after the fights today? Mindy tore her gaze from the duel.
What?
After the duels are over, I could come back. You, me, and Lita could go for a drink. It'd be just us healers talking and having a little relaxing time.
I'm in,
Lita said. Mindy's lips pursed before she nodded.
Okay, I'll have to let Greg know after the fight. Maybe we can do the same with my wives tomorrow, if they can all get away, that is.
I'm amenable,
Lita grinned.
I want to know how 6 of you can be happy together.
Furka chuckled at Lita. If they can, after the duels. I'm good with that.
Wonderful, Mindy beamed. I'll talk with Yuki and we'll get it arranged.
Chapter 24 Gregory hadn't foreseen the change of events for the day. He'd pushed Foresight to the end of the day, and because Mindy was happy and safe in every vision, he accepted it. He kissed her cheek before taking the men back to the embassy. The first thing he had to do was speak to Rudit, so he went to her office.
Gregory, is something wrong?
Makar asked when the Magi entered.
Nothing wrong, just different, Gregory shrugged. Is she available to see me?
One moment.
Makar slipped into the office to check before returning.
Go on in. She's on the patio.
Gregory joined Rudit, sitting outside on her secluded patio.
Thank you for seeing me.
You coming to see me right after the honor duels is concerning,
Rudit said.
If it's not an emergency, have some tea.
Gregory made his cup, then refreshed hers before sitting back.
There's no emergency, thankfully. However, Mindy didn't return with me. She was invited by 2 healers at the duels to go out for drinks.
I see. One of them was Lita?
Yes, she's been there before.
I see no trouble with this. Fostering greater understanding and perhaps gleaning new techniques is never a bad thing. I will need to document it in the reports, though I will make sure it looks better for her when I write it. It'll be more of an exchange of information than socializing.
Gregory dipped his head.
Thank you.
Was that all?
Rudit asked.
No. Priests Verka Mohadaughter and Lita Alexadaughter both requested that all my wives come out after the duels tomorrow.
Gregory worded it in a way that made it sound formal.
Likely an exchange of culture between our nations.
It sounds like women discussing things that men wouldn't understand since you were not included.
Maybe they are checking on your wives since your family is so large,
Rudit murmured, looking into the distance.
I can find different ways to spin it. If those here can finish their work before the duels end, I will allow it.
Honestly, that's mostly Yukiko's paperwork. Never have I seen a bunch of young magi so focused on getting their tasks done.
We're a little unusual that way,
Gregory chuckled.
That is surely the only way your family is so unusual,
Rudit said blandly.
Your dedication to training wasn't any indication of how different you are.
Gregory's grin was mostly hidden behind his cup.
Yes, ma'am.
Gregory, you don't fully grasp it, Rudit said gently.
She set her cup down, pulling a small empty plate and the sugar bowl closer to her.
Let me demonstrate what I mean.
Gregory set his cup down, giving her his full attention.
If this plate represents how much training a magi in the academy could do, Rudit said, setting a small spoon of sugar on the plate, this is where any non-affiliated magi ends up. They have some training, but not a lot. With a clan to push the magi, she added more sugar, we end up here.
About double the amount of training,
Gregory said.
Yes, now we get to the prodigies and those being groomed for positions of power, Rudit said, adding a third spoonful. More is expected and required of them. A weak leader will doom a clan as surely as the wrong words to the wrong people.
Gregory nodded in understanding.
Because anyone under the master tier as a clan head is a weakness to be exploited by others.
Exactly. That's why Bishop pushed so hard the last couple of years to make sure she closed that gap at a rate most would envy. She'll even surpass Dia before long. But let's go back to our demonstration. This plate now represents those being groomed. Argon for the Eternal Flame, or Hayworth for the Swift Wind.
I get the point of reference, Gregory said.
Then there's you, your family, and your close friends.
Rudit added even more spoons of sugar to the plate until it was covered.
Not because you were pushed, but because you wanted to. Some will attribute your rise to the dual path and additives. Those who paid attention know how focused you were on training as well. Focused training, additives, and paths will help people accept how fast you've grown.
She poured the sugar back into the bowl.
The thing is, you haven't stopped your focused regime.
No, ma'am. We know we need to be stronger.
If the first demonstration was for Magi in the Academy, let's continue, Rudit said. If the average adept Magi trains this much, she again put a single small spoonful on the plate, it gives us a baseline. She then added another small spoonful. This is for the elites being groomed. They still get help, but most begin to slide on their own training. Exceptional is the one who keeps their training even roughly in line to before.
Gregory could understand that. Most could take their time growing in power. After all, they were Magi. They had centuries of life ahead of them. Rudit began to fill the plate again.
You and your wives haven't deviated much from your previous schedule.
The plate wasn't completely full this time, but it was mostly full.
We all know that you're busier, so the opportunities for extra training are not as prevalent for you.
I see.
Now, if we just leave this plate as you and your wives training into the future,
she poured a little off the plate back into the bowl,
I honestly expect this to be your state in the next decade or two.
The plate had less sugar, but it was still mostly full.
The loss would be additives, Gregory said. We won't be able to keep up on them after Magus Tier.
That is what I expect. They are ungodly expensive, hard to source, and require purifiers afterward. It's best to save them for the solstice, then use the yuzu if you do end up with some.
Gregory picked up his cup to sip his cooling tea.
I know we've been on the leading edge of growth.
Matching the best Magi the Empire has ever had, Rudit nodded. Just short of them, actually, which is amusing in its own way. All of those were dual-path Magi who also had additives through their Magus tier. Lightshield was one of those rare few.
Bishop came close, Gregory said.
She did. In the clan, besides those closest to you, she's been the fastest-growing Magi in centuries. Her dedication to training was the very best. Until you.
Gregory chuckled as he recalled his first few days traveling with Bishop.
She drilled that dedication into me early.
Oh?
Yeah, Gregory murmured. It started when we left Alturas behind.
Gregory smiled when Roshana looked up from her paperwork.
Hello, my heart.
Greg.
Roshana smiled brightly.
How are you?
Fine. I wanted to spend a little time with you, if you have a few moments to spare.
Always for my heart,
Roshana said, getting up to join him on the small sofa in her office. The pair got comfortable, cuddled up next to each other. Comfortable silence curled around them as they just enjoyed the closeness. Minutes ticked past unheeded while they soaked in the affection. Gregory exhaled slowly before he broke the moment.
Thank you, my heart.
Anytime you want to have time with me, I'm happy to give it. Ling would have loved it if you'd done this with her, even more so than me, and I loved it quite a lot.
I'll go spend some time with her soon,
Gregory murmured, his gaze slowly scanning the room.
I was thinking that I should spend time with each of you more often. Cuddles and stolen moments are a big reason, but also so you can help me grasp your magic a little more.
Of course. That'd be easiest when I go to the harbor, but we can make little bits of magic work here, too.
I think if I push, I can catch the edges of things. That'll make it less likely that I'll suddenly show off in front of a nation.
Roshana snickered at the memory.
That might be for the best, then. All of us would gladly spend time with you for cuddles or magic.
Gregory gently touched her chin, tilting her head toward him to claim a soft kiss.
Thank you, my heart.
Greg, is something wrong?
Ling asked when he entered her office.
Nope, I have time today and thought spending it with my wives was a good idea.
Ling's stoic face melted into a smile.
Oh, I'll gladly welcome you, husband.
Gregory took a seat on her sofa and Ling was beside him, snuggled up in moments.
Thank you, my heart. I was thinking about snuggles and maybe watching you work on an enchantment.
Purring contentedly, Ling pushed against Gregory's side.
That sounds wonderful to me.
Well, what have you been working on lately?
The same enchantment. I've been refining it so it doesn't use the stones as quickly, Ling murmured. I smell Roshana on your robe. Did you stop and see her first?
I did.
It's perfectly all right, our soul,
Ling comforted him.
None of us gets jealous like that. Her scent is soothing to me. All of our wives are, because they're part of our pride. The hints of scent I can smell on all of us just reaffirm our pride to me.
Okay, I hope it's always that way.
It will be, even with the others who aren't our wives yet, Ling said. What about your day? How has it been?
Clover's ears twitched when the door opened and closed, but she was in a critical part of making the ointment and couldn't afford to look away.
I'll be right with you!
Gregory held in his amusement over Clover's expression. Seeing the normally excited woman so focused made his heart warm. She brought a flare of exuberance to their lives, and all of them loved her for it. Taking a seat on the sofa, he waited for her to finish.
There!
Clover exhaled, finally able to step away from the cauldron. Turning, she saw Gregory and rushed over.
Greg!
She was in his lap and squeezing him before he could even begin to say anything. Laughing, Gregory held her back just as firmly.
I love you too, Clover. What were you making?
Burn cream for the worst burns. I was thinking the other day about the embassy fire and how that's the biggest gap in the things Rudit asked me to make. The embassy should have some on hand, and I'm making some for each of us too, just in case.
Gregory smiled when she pulled back a little to look at him.
Can I help?
Yes!
Clover's smile was bright.
Please?
Gregory chuckled, kissing her softly. When she tried to make it more intense, he pulled back, then kissed her gently again. Clover understood, letting the kiss be soft and sweet the second time. When it ended, he rested his forehead against hers to stare into her solid black eyes.
I want to start spending more time with all of you. Cuddles and kisses, but also magic training.
Clover giggled as she wiggled in his lap.
Just cuddles and kisses?
You get that plenty at night and most mornings,
Gregory chuckled.
Okay,
Clover pouted. Still staring into her eyes, he spoke softly.
You really do love that, don't you?
Yes,
the word was a whisper.
It makes my whole body tingle when you let me. I don't know why, but it's always been the one thing I've craved to do. The enjoyment I get from it. Well, you know.
Okay. Maybe we'll be extra naughty, though infrequently.
Clover's smile was wide.
Thank you, Greg. I love you.
I love you too, my excitable wife.
Kissing her again, he kept it sweet, but let it linger this time. Jen was reading when Gregory found her in her office.
Everything okay, Jen?
Huh? Oh, it's just some paperwork. Jen sighed, setting it down. Coming to get me for some work on your physical enhancement magic?
Partially, Gregory said, going to her side. I also wanted to spend some time with my adorable wife.
Jen blushed. I don't think I'm adorable. Clover's the adorable one. Gregory gently pulled Jen out of her chair and then picked her up. Jen's legs went around his waist on reflex when he did.
She's adorable, but that doesn't mean you aren't too. I can pick you up, carry you over to the couch, he was walking as he talked, and cuddle you far easier than any of the others. I know you see your slightness as a weakness, but you should accept the good parts of it too.
Jen was fully red when Gregory took her to the sofa, then set her in his lap.
Okay.
Our fierce fighter is also soft, small, and lovely, Gregory said gently. And we love all sides of you, Jen. We always will, too.
Face burning at being manhandled by Gregory, his words only inflamed her blush.
I love you,
she said in a whisper. And I love you. I lock the door so we can cuddle and kiss before we go train, Gregory whispered back. Nothing too naughty, but a little bit. After all, you can't stop me from making you cuddle, can you?
Jen shivered as she bit her lip.
Never.
You all give me so much that I want to start giving back more. I'll be trying to spend more time with all of you for moments like this and for magic training. We might brush the edges on propriety, but that's fine as long as we don't do too much.
Jen inhaled slowly as she leaned against Gregory, wrapped up in his loving arms.
Making me love you even more.
Then I'll have to love you even more in return.
Jen giggled as she rested against him.
You're so assertive today. Thank you.
Your needs matter to me, Jen. While Yuki normally takes this role for you, I can and will gladly take the spot sometimes, too.
Jen smiled as she just soaked in his love. He'd come and claimed her, making her snuggle with him. She'd enjoy this posting even more than she already was, and that hadn't been a small amount to begin with.
Greg,
Yukiko smiled when he stepped into her office.
Did you come to get me to bathe?
We have some time before that, Gregory said. But I'll go with you when it's time. Come join me.
He had taken a seat on her sofa. Shadows swallowed Yukiko before she was suddenly beside him.
If you insist, my heart. Is everything okay?
Today's been busy, but far from a bad day. Gregory chuckled. I've been visiting all of our wives, spending time cuddling and then sitting with them while they showed me their magic. I'll need to spoil Mindy later, as she's the only one I've missed now that I'm here with you.
Didn't she go with you to the honor duels?
Yes, but that's where things deviated from what I thought they'd be,
Gregory said. He gently pulled Yukiko into his lap.
Let me tell you about today.
When he'd finished his story, he'd snuck over a dozen kisses from her.
So, you'll need to make sure to have all your paperwork done before the duels end tomorrow.
Gladly. Verka asking for this makes me happy,
Yukiko said.
But not as happy as you taking the time with all of us. Spreading it out to one or two of us a day would be better for the future.
I was already planning on that, Gregory chuckled. My smart wife taught me well.
Yukiko shifted her hips against him.
How many of them wanted more than snuggles?
Clover and Jen, though I'm sure Roshana would have eagerly jumped at the chance. Ling would have accepted too, but it's snuggling that makes her the happiest. I've promised the two of them a moment or two snuck in infrequently.
I'll make that three,
Yukiko whispered softly.
Gladly, my heart.
Good. When we finish cuddling, I want you to try feeling my magic as I practice with my shadow hands.
Anything you wish, Yuki.
Perfect.
Chapter 25. Gregory saw his wives out the door as Verka, Lita, and a couple of other women arrived at the embassy. Yukiko gave Gregory a wink, then led the others toward the gate. His wives had dressed in local fashions to help minimize any difficulties with the Krogians, as the future with Verka had not been perfectly clear. When they got back after dinner, they'd be fine. Every future was certain on that, so he wasn't worried about their safety. Shaking his head, Gregory went to the training yard.
Gentlemen, are you ready?
As ready as we can be, sir.
Davis chuckled.
I already know this will hurt,
Jason Taylor said.
But when else can we train against an arms master?
Max Pellant asked.
Never, which is why we'll take for pain.
One at a time so you have a chance to recover between spars,
Gregory grinned.
It's time to let your men see you strive.
He says strive, I hear get thrashed,
Max muttered, but he wore a smile.
Max, thank you for volunteering to be first.
Gregory grinned evilly.
Oh, Krog's balls,
Max sighed, then walked into the open area.
Getting voluntold yet again. Story of my life. Hit it in